Good morning. So today we resume our reflections on the tools of good works, and we're on tool 65. To hate nobody. Or in the Cardong translation, hate no one. In Latin, nullum odire. Hate. It's a strong emotion, a strong word. It is the vice that is most opposed to love. And hate comes in two forms, at least as far as I think. And hate is always irrational, even though I'm good at rationalizing it. It's totally irrational. A vice or a disorder that's totally out of order, to say the very least. There's that calculated coldness, scheming, can't even call it indifference, because I'm not indifferent. You know, you could get to the far continuum, or the far, on the far scale. It could be outright cold murder. You know, it's a psychopath with no conscience whatsoever. I mean, from some of us, we kind of grew up seeing something of a classical American movie called The Birdman of Alcatraz. I don't know if some of you will not be familiar with it. The point is being, this man was a psychopath. And the movie tended to soften that image and kind of make us feel, well, I mean, one should be compassionate towards anyone and everyone, but this man could not live in society. I mean, because that's what he was going to go around killing people. Anyway, we have that kind of hate. Then we have the more recognizable hate, at least in the sense of an act of hostility, of vengeance, or maybe passive aggression. Well, we're all experts in rationalizing such anger when we undergo such a deep feeling of hate. And we might wonder, you know, well, why should this be in the rule of Saint Benedict? Because monks should not have this experience or feeling. But it's precisely because Saint Benedict knows the human state and human weakness that he would have this in the rule. Because it is a real experience. And if it's not, then someone's in denial. It may not be the continuum, the most extreme, but it's there at work within us. And in the context of the last 13 instruments of good works, all of which are relational, in other words, to do with the neighbor primarily, this work or this tool, hate no one, fits in very well in its context of these last tools. As you know, in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, we have a command, You shall not bear hatred for your brother in your heart. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. There is that commandment. And then we know the story of Cain and Abel. We know the story of Esau and Jacob. We know the story of Saul and David. And there are other stories in the Old Testament as well. In the New Testament, we have Jesus' parable in the Gospel of Matthew of the unforgiving servant who was forgiven much and refused to forgive that debtor which owed very, very little to him. Likewise, we hear Jesus saying in the Gospel of Luke, if your brother wrongs you seven times in one day and returns to you seven times saying, I am sorry, you are to forgive him. In other words, to forgive him, to forgive him, to forgive him infinitely. Likewise, in the first letter of John, whoever does not love remains in death. Very, very strong words. A person who hates his brother, he goes on to say, is a murderer. Very strong language. And finally, in the first letter of John, he concludes by saying, children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. So this strong emotion of hate is there in the human condition, and we human beings struggle with it to temper it, to order it. In the whole teaching of the monastic tradition, we have, beginning with John Cassian, again, as you will know, there's three aspects of the soul that John Cassian presents, the concupiscible, the irascible, and the rational. And the eight principal vices flow from these three aspects of the soul. And in the group of the irascible vices, we have anger, we have sadness, and we have acedia. Lust and anger are the two strongest emotions in the desert, notwithstanding acedia. And as you go through the sayings of the Desert Fathers, or through just monastic literature in general, pay attention to see just how often lust and anger are commented upon or addressed. And of course, when anger becomes disordered, because the irascible in itself is not an issue, it's there by God's design to be angry with, as it were, myself. The kingdom of God is taken by the violent. When Jesus says that, you know, that's what he means, or at least that's in part what he means. Anyway, this isn't a comment on that verse of the gospel. But when anger is disordered, it becomes hate. But when it becomes ordered, it becomes intense desire, love, seeking, and making every sacrifice possible. But when it is disordered and becomes hate, it makes every sacrifice possible to make the neighbor's life miserable to the point of even the unmentionable, maybe even outright murder. Well, unfortunately, hate is a projection, often a projection, when we think about it, onto a group, or a race, or a class. The homeless people, we got to get rid of them. We got to get them off the streets. We got to clean up our parks. And this is becoming a hot item, apart from addressing why there's so many homeless people, but that's not the topic of this talk. But we also hear it more and more, don't we, about the border. Or we hear it, these immigrants are coming and they're taking away our jobs. And they're just coming to take benefit of our social security system, our Medi-Cal system, Medicaid system. And I hear that from people. You know, anyway, it's a projection. You have to blame someone. And it's not individuals, generally. You know, and a few times, because you just end up with a big argument, but I say to some of the times the people that I kind of know, they say, well, not you know, Fred or Susie or whatever they are, who are probably immigrants or they belong to, I don't know what, but you know, the rest of them are all that way, you know. You know, I'm thinking I live with all these kinds of people you're pointing the finger at. Well, what does this have? What happens when this kind of general blanket projection of hate happens onto a group? It anesthetizes me to the hate. I can kind of become... It's over there, it's that issue. It's not my issue, it's someone else's issue. It's that group that should not be here, or whatever the issue is. You know, it softens my own addressing of hate when I can especially point, like I said, to a group. At any rate, we go into Conference 16 of John Cash, which is the Conference on Friendship. Actually, it's Abba Joseph, as it were, talking to John Cash and his friend Germanus. And he says this. He says, well, we may have more affection for one and less for another. And he gives the example of the beloved disciple at the Last Supper. In other words, you know, at least in John's Gospel, we have this, the disciple whom Jesus loved. You know, there's implication that there seemed to be a little more affection for this beloved disciple. But Abba Joseph or John Cashin goes on to say, hating no one is the minimum towards realizing a general love of our neighbor. So you may have more affection for so-and-so versus so-and-so, but don't hate anyone. That's at least the minimum to loving the neighbor. Abba Joseph says, now there's a lot more. And so, obviously, you know, I mean, sometimes maybe we do go through life at a minimum level of gospel love, but at least it's there. And then we that's where the virtue of hope comes in. I hope I can by God's grace, expand that minimal love of neighbor as I go through life. But ultimately, as I say, Rabbi Joseph concludes, he says, we're called to hate no one. So it's obviously there in the monastic tradition before St. Benedict. When we look at the rule of St. Benedict, we have a number of areas here. As I already said, these last 13 tools, more or less, of the rule of Chapter 4 address aspects of human relations that threaten this universal call to holiness or to love. Universal call to love is a universal call to holiness. That was you might call it a Freudian slip, because I have a universal call to love. But anyway, the two are related, interchangeable. Earlier on, we saw on tool number 60 that we were to hate selfish desire. That's the one place where the word hate is used in a positive sense in the rule of St. Benedict. You probably have forgotten that because it's been so many weeks ago or months ago. Hate selfish desire. And then in chapter 2, the qualities for the abbot, of the abbot. The abbot is not to hate discipline. And finally, in chapter 64, which is also on the qualities of the abbot is to hate vices. So there we have a positive aspect of it, to hate vices, but love the brothers. So, to hate nobody.